Welcome to the Pixel People Podcast, where we go beyond the quest lines to discover the backstories and motivations of our favorite video game NPCs to better understand them and ourselves. I'm Amelia, also known as Fire Rider, and each episode I'm chatting with a special guest about a character they find particularly interesting. Since we're taking a close look at how these characters impact the story, please be aware that spoilers are likely. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Hello and welcome to Pixel People. I'm Amelia, aka Fire Rider, and my guest today is the host of League of Lore, a podcast about the lore of League of Legends and other properties set in the Runeterran universe. Well, Jacob.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hello.
How's it going?
It's going good.
Awesome. So glad to have you on. I know you know when I was looking for folks to be on, you jumped right in and immediately had somebody you wanted to talk about. So tell me who it is that you are going to be talking about today.
Oh, it's going to be one of my favorite champions in League of Legends, both for gameplay and also quickly rising in character as well. Pyke the Blood Harbor Ripper.
Very cool. And this character looks really interesting. I have never played League of Legends. So, we're going to dig right in and we're going to figure all of this out. I know it's like super huge. I didn't realize it had been around for as long as it had. For some reason, I thought it was like a newer game. And I was like, oh, this has been around for ages.
Yep, it had its 10-year anniversary, I think 2020 is when it had its 2-year anniversary.
That's really cool.
Or 10-year anniversary, sorry.
Oh, yeah. And then, from my understanding, they've got kind of, is it a spin-off show, or is it actually set in the...
We don't know right now. It seems to be either it is, like, canon adjacent, which seems to be where it's leaning, or it's going to be the new canon of the world. We're waiting to see on which way it's going. I would prefer it become the new main canon, at least for that region. But we'll see where it goes.
That's really interesting. So it's just had its first season, is that right?
That's correct.
What I'm talking about here. Yeah, I've seen a lot of chatter about it on like Twitter and stuff like that. So
it is very like good. It deserves really all the chatter.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's nice when they can do something you love justice.
Oh yes.
There's so many shows or games with shows in the hopper right now that I think there's so many fandoms right now that are just on pins and needles. Like, will they mess it up? I don't know.
Yeah, I think this may be a good sign that the future of like shows, at least shows based around video games, may have a bright future.
Yeah.
We'll see, because before that we had Castlevania for the Castlevania series, which was very good too.
We were just talking. We just did. Castlevania a couple episodes ago, and we were talking about that.
Yeah, so if that show and this show are any new precedent, I would like that new precedent to stay.
Nice. Well, that's great. I'm so excited for you guys, because it also sounds like it just got renewed for another season, too.
Yes,
so. So, good news for League of Lore fans and Arcane fans. So looking at the game itself, so this is a... So, yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, right? So this is like an isometric, full-on kind of battle PvP sort of?
Yeah, it's...
I don't know the game very well.
Yeah, it is a MOBA, a multiplayer online something arena. Okay. Everyone just calls it MOBA at this point. Like, no one really refers to what the acronym
actually stands for. MMORPG. It's like, do you really want to say the whole thing? No.
Exactly. But, it is isometric, so it is top-down for the most part, with, like, a slight tilt, just so you can see the character model enough. And it is important to know that in the past, like, the old lore, like, digging through, like, dusty folders at this point, in the old lore of League of Legends, what we were playing was literally happening in the world. But that was a retconned, I think, in 2014 or so. Because the writers realized it was not working and it was just a bad idea.
Oh no!
it was limiting stories way too much. Often. Yeah, it was limiting stories too much, and it was it was just bad because you had like literal gods being controlled by a human mage, which
oh wow,
this is like what is the power level here? This is really weird. So they retconned that, threw that all out, and rebooted their entire lore and canon, which has now led to like a little rough start at first, but they've really caught their footing now, and it's looking really strong as it keeps going forward. A few storylines kind of dangling in the wind still. Some champions still haven't been fully updated in terms of their lore. So we're waiting on those to get updates, but for the most part, it's been a resounding success in their revamping of the world to be this fully realized, fleshed out fantasy setting with sci-fi elements.
It's interesting because we haven't done we haven't done a game in that style yet here, so we've mostly kind of stuck to more RPG or kind of action adventure sort of games. So it's interesting to kind of move into a different genre.
Yeah, I'm excited to bring that genre forward because I like the idea that there are games who aren't traditionally story focused that can still have great stories being told around them, which I think is really good.
Yeah, and I love that. I love that more story is being included, and that they kind of went in to make those changes so that people can get engaged with the game in that way.
Yeah, like they've been making comics and there's short stories out the wazoo right now, like so many short stories.
And who's writing those?
Various writers, like they'll either bring in writers, I believe, or they have an in-house writing team, which will write them as well. They don't always remember to credit the writers, unfortunately, but that seems to be being fixed. That was like an early mistake that carried over for a little too long, but they seem to be repairing that now.
Oh, that's good. That's good that they see it and are making the change. That
writers deserve credit.
Makes a huge difference, yeah, for sure. So looking at the story of League of Legends, how does Pyke kind of fit into the overall story? Is there an overall kind of cohesive story? I'm guessing that there is.
There isn't. It's kind of complicated because how it works is because we have all these different champions, which are basically all the various characters you can play in the game. It's like, oh god, I think 160 now or something like that. Some crazy high number.
Oh wow, okay.
People just, once it gets above 150, everyone's like, it's there. There's that many. And it's important to realize that every single champion has their own story. So there is like a broader kind of like events that affect the world, essentially. But in terms of, is there an overarching story? Well, there is, but it's like usually confined to certain locations.
That makes sense.
And depending on which champion it's focusing on, like you could say, well, it's now their story, and so we're focusing on their viewpoint of these events, or however you would want to think about it. The most recent major event was the called the Sentinels of Light event, but it was not well received. It was not a very well liked event due to a lot of problems, some COVID inflicted, some not.
Yeah.
And so generally, Riot even themselves have basically said, like, we're kind of going to pretend that whole event just didn't really happen. Like, some major events.
Timeline.
Yeah. Because like, they're basically saying, like, some major events probably still occurred because they're too big to ignore.
Sure.
But like the smaller character stuff, you can just pretend that stuff didn't happen. Which is very disappointing because I liked the idea of the event and I really liked the villain. It was very good. Unfortunately, so many other character stuff happening, like for Pyke, for example, was in the event and he was very out of character and I disliked it heavily. So I'm just, I always pretend like that's not Pyke. That is not the character I think of.
Some doppelganger.
Just some weird anomaly. Because we have seen now evidence that they know how to write Pyke, which is why I really want to talk about him, because he is someone who's starting to develop a lot more, which is amazing for a character like this.
Which is really cool. Should we go ahead and kind of dive into his backstory a bit here?
Yeah, sure. Just so people can understand like his gameplay theme, then we'll hop into the backstory, because I think that is important into why he is characterized the way he is. Is in gameplay, he is a very weird combination of what's called a support assassin. He's the only one of his kind. And what that means is a support champion. The explanation is kind of in the title. They support their team. They help everyone else, like through healing or buffs or shielding or some way to like protect them. Think MMORPG, Holy Trinity kind of style. They're the healer usually. However, Pike is different because Pike is special. Where he is also an assassin. So his job is not just to like help protect his allies or to lock down certain enemies. His job, using his ultimate, which is an X-shaped execute, to finish off weakened enemies so that he and the ally who most recently damaged them share the gold, which you gain from killing enemies.
Okay.
So it's always funny, like, people always joke that he's helping by killing people.
Well, I mean, sometimes in games, that's how that works.
Yeah. Like, I love him because he's just really fun. He's very skill expressive. He's a very difficult champion to play, but that's why I love him.
Okay.
But that is why he's characterized in a specific way, because in his backstory, he was what was called... Well, first, he's from a region called Bilgewater. Which Bilgewater... How to summarize Bilgewater? Think Pirates of the Caribbean on crack. It is literally the pirate city. It pirates everywhere. It is the most piratey place ever in Runeterra.
Most piratey place that ever pirated.
Yes, it is amazing. I love Bilgewater as a location. It is really cool. Because it used to be fairly generic, like just piratey place, but they've done a lot to develop that location now, and so it's a lot more fleshed out and feels like it has a proper culture. Outside of just pirates being pirates. They have a religion now, they have a whole...
Oh, wow.
They have a very special process for, quote-unquote, burying their dead. They don't even bury them. They literally have them in caskets that float out in the sea.
Interesting.
With, like, tombstones attached to the top of them. Like, it's really cool.
So like when it sinks, the tombstone is above the
body, yeah, the tombstone's above the water, while the casket is like chained underneath it, like hanging just below the surface.
Oh, I see. Okay, so they don't sink, the tombstone just marks. Okay,
yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Oh, that's interesting.
And there's a bunch of other cool flavor stuff, like Bilgewater is infamous for its gigantic sea monsters. Like,
yeah,
huge sea monsters. Like, it's hard to put into words how big they are. They're, think 20 blue whales for some of the larger ones. Like,
oh my god,
they're gigantic.
Yeah.
Which is like, why the location Bilgewater is located on is on a series of islands called the Serpent Isles. Because lots of sea serpents live around there.
Oh wow. Okay.
And so Bilgewater is like a specific city on Serpent Isles. There's a bunch of other stuff going on, but Bilgewater is, like, the major location.
Okay.
And this is where Pike's story comes in, because Pike was part of a crew who specialized in killing arguably the most dangerous of all the sea monsters, called the Jawfish. Now, the Jawfish, like I said, they're probably the biggest of all the sea monsters. They're the Krakens of the sea. They're huge.
Damn.
Like, they're the biggest of them, can swallow a ship whole, like, that's no problem for them, they're huge.
Yeah.
And Pike's job was, he was the killer of the Jawfish. Now, how this works...
No pressure.
Yeah, I know. Now, because he's just a regular human, it's important to remember, he's just a regular old dude. But he was very good at his job, because, like, the reason they would kill Jawfish is both for, like, food, because they're... lots of meat on that, obviously.
Sure.
But also, as Jawfish eat things, like, they'll sometimes get treasures stuck inside them. It's a form of treasure hunting, essentially.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, Pike's job was to, and I kid you not, have a rope tied to him, his only lifeline, this is very important, take his very specialized harpoon, dive inside a jawfish as they're trying to eat him, and kill them from the inside.
Well, that's a no from me.
Like, that was literally his job. I dive into this giant sea monster's mouth and kill them from the inside, and then they get yoinked out before they eat me.
Holy crap.
Yeah, very insane job, but this is Pike. Like, this is why I love him. He's fascinating, and that was his job. Now, like,
you'd have to be just, like, crazy to do that. I can't even imagine.
Crazy,
like,
or the... brave, or both. Yes.
Yeah, I think both is definitely...
Oh, yes.
Definitely happening here. I can't even fathom, like, what it would take to do something like that.
Yeah, deadliest catch, like... You got nothing on this. Like, this is insane.
That's incredible.
But what happened one day, I mean, this is where Pike goes from regular Pike to the Blood Ripper, the Blood Harbor Ripper, is one day as he was diving down to kill a jawfish, a regular day at the 9-to-5 for him, his captain and the crew, but specifically the captain, saw the jawfish getting very close to the ship. And so he panicked and cut Pike's line.
Oh no.
And so literally sealing Pike's fate, because without that line, you're dead. Like,
yeah,
you're so dead. And so Pike was eaten by the jawfish. But that is not where his story ends, obviously. This is where his true story begins.
Everybody go home.
Yeah, this is the origin story. It turns out that just jawfish, and this is some wild stuff, it turns out jawfish live an insanely long time when they're not being hunted. And this jawfish in particular was insanely old. Like, one of the oldest jawfish in existence. Mm-hmm. And it turns out when jawfish get that old, they kind of become semi-sentient and sapient.
Oh, wow, okay.
And so this jawfish grabbed Pike, knowing Pike was a jawfish hunter, because of course it did, and took him deep, deep down into the ocean, deeper than, like, anything has any right to exist. All the way down. And we don't really know what happened down there. All we know is that after the jawfish drug Pike down into the deep, deep dark, a new Pike was born. Pike, the Blood Harbor Ripper. He is essentially a revenant.
Okay.
He's literally a vengeful spirit, but he's sort of fleshy. It's kind of complicated, but he's basically a ghost who can become physical when he wants to.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so he's not, so he doesn't always take a physical form.
Yes, he has ways to, like, be more spirity and stuff like that, which feeds into his abilities in-game.
Okay.
But how this works is when he came out of the sea, after being betrayed, essentially.
Yeah.
He has this, just magically, he has a list now. And on that list are the names of all the people on that ship that he served with who betrayed him.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Here's the catch. The list never ends.
Oh, shit.
It turns out, now, some recent events have slightly adjusted this, but the important thing to know here is as he, like, kills people off the list, like, we don't even know, like, if his crew's even alive anymore. He could have killed off that crew ages ago at this point.
Yeah.
But what matters is that the list never stops. There's always a new name on that list, and Pike sees that name and just like, huh, I guess I haven't killed that person yet from that crew.
Oh,
and when he sees the person, the new person on the list, when he sees them, his memory literally morphs for them to be on the ship with the rest of his crew.
Oh, wow.
So he literally, his reality, his perception is completely changes when he sees someone on that list. Like, if your name's not on the list, you're good. But the moment it's on the list, you're so dead. Because what he does is, this is why it's called the Blood Harbor Ripper. He goes out and kills people, very much like a serial killer. The scariest serial killer ever.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
Yeah.
He can apparently just, like, go non-corporeal whenever he feels like it or
basically,
something.
Basically, like, his specialty is, like, literally going into, like, the floor and hunting you like a shark.
Oh my god, that is terrifying.
Mm-hmm. And he has a bunch of other stuff, too, that relate to his game abilities, but, like, that's the big thing, is he can just go inside surfaces and swim around like they're water.
Oh, man.
And come out whenever he wants to and kill you.
That is nuts.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I love Pika's, he's such a fascinating character, yeah. Because he has this whole conflict of like, memory.
Yeah.
He doesn't really remember anymore what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I said, certain things have slightly changed, and the Ruined King game, one of the more recent games Riot have released, mm-hmm. Thank you, Riot, for giving me more Pike stuff. Pike's character's kind of had some development. Okay. He now is able to recognize that not all the names on his list were from his crew.
Oh.
So he's gained some of his self-awareness back. Yeah, he's gained some of that self-awareness back. But he still kills people on the list, regardless, because now it's not about getting revenge. It's about getting justice for the wrongs done to the deep, essentially.
Okay, so he's almost, like, taken the opposite side in a way?
Yeah, now he's working for the giant sea monsters.
Oh my gosh.
And so he goes out, and he still specifically targets captains, usually.
Yeah.
Because a captain was the one that betrayed him, and so he hates captains now. So don't be a leader around him, because he'll just be like, captain, gotta kill him. But what that really reveals about him is that now that he knows what he's doing, yeah. It makes him, it changes what was once a tragic kind of, oh, he doesn't really know what he's doing anymore, to now he does know, and now he's kind of, I guess in some ways he's like a weird vigilante in a weird way.
Yeah.
Just serving a different, instead of human justice, it's fish justice.
Fish justice. Fish justice for all.
Basically. Now it is pointing out that a lot of people he kills did probably deserve for some reason to die. Like depending on like if you're justice and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But some not necessarily do, but he kills them because they're on the list, and if you're on the list, you die.
Is there any indication of how the list comes to be?
It just is magically there. Like, for some reason, these ancient super jawfish might have some sort of, like, deep sea magic.
Oh, okay.
And so the list just existed, and it's kind of his tie to the jawfish in a way.
Okay. Oh, that's really
like, literally just magically updates with, like, new things. It's like, you got an update. It's like, oh, new list.
Bing! What if he's, like, me checking my email in the morning?
Yeah, it's like, just rechecking it. But, like I said, he's had a lot of development recently. The big reveal at the end of The Ruined King for his character, mm-hmm. and spoilers for anyone who wants to play that game, at least if you care about Pike,
yeah.
Which I do. Is at the end of that game, it's revealed that after all the events of that game where he helps take on, like, the big bad, who, fun fact, is also the big bad in the Sentinel Lights event, those two were supposed to be tied together, but stuff happened. Thank you, COVID. Yeah. Is he writes a name on the list.
Oh.
Which has never happened before. It is important to know. Before, the names just appeared.
Mm-hmm.
But for the first time ever, he writes a name on that list, and he writes the name of the big bad, because he knows they're probably going to return.
Okay.
And he actually writes their name out. Because he now actively hates this person.
That's so funny.
So he writes their name out using his dagger, which is really cool.
And you're like, oh no.
Yeah, the moment is like, oh, Pike's going to get him. It's going to be great. Then we just ignore the events of Sentinels of Light. because it did not do Pike justice, or a lot of characters justice, for that matter.
Yeah.
But that was, like, the big new development for him, is that he now, not only self-aware, but now he also has the ability to decide for himself who he's going to kill.
That's so interesting.
He's so new.
He's, like, coming full circle.
Yeah. He's becoming a full person again, essentially.
Yeah. That's so funny. I wonder, I'm wondering if they're going to kind of continue down that road, you know, as the game continues and they continue to add lore and more information and, you know, the timeline moves forward.
I would be excited for that, for sure.
Yeah, if they'd keep humanizing
him. That would be my hope, is I would like to see him get more development and, like, appear in other Bilgewater stories as his character grows. Now, he's still Pike. He's still the Pike we know and love. He still is a brutal serial killer. There is no getting past this. That is who he is.
Yeah.
He's a big thing about, like, you follow your nature, and that's it. Because he talks to another character in The Ruined King about, because they have similarities in that they're both kind of chained, but also willingly follow their natures.
Yeah.
And Pike kind of, like, bonds with that character over that. But at the same time, like, there's this distinction made with the other character kind of not liking their nature, and so while following it, they want to find ways to circumvent it. And Pike just being like, nah, I'm good. I'm good being a ghostly, revenant serial killer for the rest of my days. I'm fine with that. So he's living his best life as a serial killer, it turns out.
He's living his best unlife.
Yeah, essentially. But that's kind of why I like him, is he's not someone who's like, oh, I hate being a ghosty revenant person.
He's like, it's rocks.
No. Yeah, exactly. He's like, I am doing something that I enjoy in a weird way, which is killing people that I don't like.
Yeah. That's so interesting. One of the things that struck me as I was, you know, kind of reading through biography and stuff like that. So the line it gives me is, captains from many ships were found carved up and left out for the dawn. Barroom patrons whispered it was a supernatural killer, wronged at sea, gutting his way through the crew manifest of some damned ship called the Terror. Except that further down, it sounds like the Terror doesn't actually exist.
It used to. Like, the ship probably did exist.
Okay.
But whether or not it was called the Terror or not, I don't recall. It might have been called the Terror. Like, Bilgewater ships are all the time given really crazy names. Like, it's one of those things where, like, the stories the bar patrons are saying are kind of true.
Okay.
They just don't know the full picture, though.
Okay.
Like, they're right. Like, there is a vengeful spirit going out and killing people. Like, that's true. And he was on a ship probably called the Terror. But the circumstances of why he is the way he is or what made him what he is are kind of lost on them. Because they just don't know.
Okay. Yeah, because I was thinking about, you know, the... Because it seems like, according to this, no one finds any mention of a ship named the Terror ever docking in Bilgewater. So,
that would not shock me.
Yeah. So I thought that was really interesting, and just that, you know, that we have the connection between Terror and kind of the fear of that Pike is kind of put into the citizens of Bilgewater. And
Oh yes. Yeah. because it's important to know, like, the reason it's called the Blood Harbor Ripper is because, first of all, it's kind of a play on, like, Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
It's kind of a play on that. But he specifically stalks what are called the Blood Harbor, which is where they take the giant sea monsters and gut them. That's why it's called the Blood Harbor.
Yeah.
So he's literally going to the place where the sea monsters are killed the most, or finished off, I guess you could say. And that's where his hunting grounds are the most. And so, in a lot of ways, the Blood Harbor has become, like, a haunting now. And a lot of people, like, don't like to go there anymore.
Yeah, so it makes me wonder, like, what the captains and everybody does. Because it's like, they still have to get their work done, but just getting their work done makes them a target. So, did they come up with a solution for that?
The solution is to keep doing it and pray.
Oh, that's not a great solution.
Because they don't really have a way to stop him.
Yeah.
Like, magic does exist, obviously, in this setting. And magic's not, like, just weird, like, people don't really know about it. No, people know magic exists.
Yeah.
They see it all the time.
Right.
But because of what Pike is, there's not really a way to stop him. Mm-hmm. There is a character in the Ruined King who does attempt to stop him, only to then be shown by her goddess that Pike is chosen and must be allowed to still function.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Which causes her a whole, like, crisis of faith moment, because what Pike is in her mind, goes counter to all tradition and her in her religion, because he's undead,
right.
And in their religion, undead are like hugely bad, like they're big blasphemy, essentially.
Makes sense.
And yeah, and so when she tries to basically like banish Pike, and then her god's just like, "Nah, we need him." And she's like, "What?"
Yeah.
And it causes a really cool thing because when. Because after that point, Pike and her and several other characters like team up together to fight the big bad, and they have interactions like this priestess and him, and it begins for her to it causes her to realize that even though you are what you are, that does not mean that you are inherently wrong. Because obviously, my God sees that there's use for you.
Okay.
And basically, she starts realizing that maybe what you're doing. Is like reprehensible in terms of like you're killing a bunch of people, but maybe like you're divinely appointed to be that, and I can't really say boo if that's the case.
Yeah, some kind of like angel of death sort of idea.
Yeah, kind of like that, which is very fascinating to think about that that change occurs, and I really like the development for Pike as going from fully like oh he's evil ghost person to actually no he's. Person is more important than ghost now.
Yeah.
Which I really like.
And that's and especially as he continues to become more person.
Yeah.
Like on and on. I think it's interesting too that you know, this character who started out as this, you know, fearless, I'm guessing probably some bravado, you know, badass jumping into the mouths of giant fish to finish them off.
Yeah, it seems to be like he was very brave, but he wasn't like egotistical about it. He knew to respect the giant sea monster that could eat him.
Yeah.
That's why he was good at his job, because he respected the sea monsters. And maybe that's why they chose him.
Oh, that's an interesting thought. Yeah. Because I mean I'm guessing like he's not the only one who does this job. So he's definitely not the first person to get eaten by one of these things.
Oh, no, certainly not. But obviously something about him was at least different from the super ancient jawfish to not just swallow him whole and digest him like a normal person.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was just bad luck. Who knows?
Or exceptionally good luck. I don't know. I guess it depends on your point of view.
Yeah, the defense
captains are
view.
Thinking, no, that luck sucks. Take it back.
Which is actually one of my favorite things, because, like I said, he hates captains, but there is a character in the game, Brethren King, and then Captain Fortune, who they kind of not really become friends, necessarily, but they come to an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And Pike even points, because she actually points out that, like, you hate captains, so why haven't you, like, killed me?
Hmm.
And he's, and after some talk, basically he reveals that, like, you are a captain, and I don't like that. But you're a good captain. Like, you actually care about the people of Bilgewater. You will, as he points out, you will not cut the lines of the weak and let them drown. You will instead pull them up and save them. Which was very powerful for me that he points that out. It's like, you care about the people, and that's what, and there's some part of him that still cares about, like, their average Joe.
Yeah.
Because that's what he was. He was an average person. He was just a dude. And once I heard that line, like going through that the game cinematics and stuff, it just made me go, "Oh, that's something that we didn't consider with Pike at first."
Yeah.
But now that we know that, it's really cool. And so they make a fun little thing where Captain's like, "So I'm not going to be on your list," and he's like, "You'll be at the bottom." So it's like, so she's like, "Okay, that's good to know. You'll kill me last, I guess."
It's like, yet. Still probably gonna kill you, but, you know, you can
hang
out for a
while. You're just at the bottom of my list now. This will be a bit. Which I thought was very funny. That he could have a little humor, but also being serious. He's like, I'll probably still kill you, but, you know, it'll be a while.
Take your time. Enjoy your life.
Enjoy your life. Be a good captain while you can.
Yikes. Save more people. So as a League player, so you control Pike, is that is that correct?
Yeah, you literally play as him. Okay. You like click around with your with the right click and it moves him around, and you use Q, W, N, E, R for his abilities.
Oh, okay.
R being his ultimate.
And so like when you're playing him, Does he like talk about his backstory, or how do you access the story?
Okay, there are a few ways. Uh-huh. In game, he does have voice lines, uh-huh. So he'll talk a bit about his backstory and stuff like that. Just as he's like walking around, mm-hmm. or when you attack or see certain enemy champions, he'll make mm-hmm. a reference that relates back to his past, or like just relates to his character as a whole. Like if he sees a leadership style character, mm-hmm. then he's like, "Ew, Captain, we should totally kill this person right now." Or a line somewhere along those lines. And if he sees, like, a Misfortune, for example, he really doesn't like her, but obviously events in the game and the Ruined King have changed that a bit. Mm-hmm. But in League, that's nebulous right now.
Okay.
If he sees Gangplank, who's another Captain Pirate character, he definitely wants to kill them, because he would definitely be what Pike views as a bad captain.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants him dead. But... like, that's so we get some of it in his voice lines, his jokes, like, stuff that he can say in-game. But the majority of his story now comes in the short stories, which you can find on the League of Legends Universe page, or on the League of Legends wiki that fans have put together. I recommend the wiki, because it's a little better organized than the universe at the moment, unfortunately. And they properly, like, credit the writers and also link to everything, like, a champion has ever been in, so that you have all the material to work with.
Oh, wow.
The universe page, while good, has a problem with not always linking every possible story to the champion.
Yeah.
Which I wish Riot would fix, but apparently the universe is, like, at the bottom of their to-do list half the time.
No.
So,
like, the good part.
I know they have a lot to worry about as a big gaming company, but it's frustrating as a lore person. It's just like, please update your lore website, please.
Yeah, otherwise we'll all just start creating it for ourselves.
Exactly. So luckily the wiki exists, so we can go to the wiki and find all the short stories.
Oh, that's
there,
really cool. That's nice that they're all organized there. That's a really interesting way of continuing the story and, you know, providing all of that background. And, you know, so is Pike the most, this sounds like a pun, but fleshed out? or do other characters have really kind of the more deep, intricate backstories as well?
Right. There are a lot of very fleshed out champions right now.
That's cool.
For a little while after the full universe retcon, essentially, the full reboot, mm-hmm. There were only a few champions that were fleshed out more, and some champions have had their lore completely revamped,
they're
completely different characters now, for some of them. And as, like, time has gone on, more and more champions have been updated, like, some, when they have, like, older gameplay kits, they have been completely revamped,
mm-hmm.
So that they're more in line with, like, current modern League of Legends, mm-hmm. Which makes sense. The game's been around so long, they're gonna have to update stuff as time goes on.
Yeah.
And so, because of that, there are a lot of very fleshed out champions right now, very, very fortunately for me, because I love eating up all the stories and lore and stuff.
Yeah.
There are some very, very fleshed out champions. So, I would say Pike, for a while, was actually on the lower end, like the lower half, where he wasn't fully developed, because the story was fairly simple. But, thanks to the Ruined King game, thank you for this game, he has been fleshed out so much better now.
Yeah.
And so now I definitely put him in the upper half of, like, very fleshed out champions. We now know what his deal is, and we know his story and where it's heading, and I'm so excited to see where his story goes for the future.
Nice. Is he someone that is frequently played? Is he a fairly popular champion?
Yes and no. Okay. He is popular, but he's so hard that people don't like to play him.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting.
Because, like I said, he's a support style champion, and most support players aren't usually that an aggressive player. They're usually more defensive.
Yeah.
They usually like playing champions that are more in line with protecting and healing, stuff like that. There are some exceptions, like just some slightly more aggressive, but usually like tankier style, so they're more about going in and locking down a target for your ally to kill.
Mm-hmm.
But Pike does have, like, a rabid player base who love playing him. The problem is usually that because of his difficulty, if you don't know what you're doing on him, he just flops. Like, he just fails at all the things he's trying to do.
Okay, yeah.
Because he's very difficult. But a very good pike player is terrifying.
Okay,
a good pike will single-handedly, like, carry the game by themselves because they just know what to do, know where to be, know how to use all his abilities in the best ways. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many small intricacies that even I have picked up over time. Like, he has an ability that literally like, leaves a ghost version of himself behind him for like a half a second, essentially. And it will then like snap towards him, and anyone in the zone where it's snapping forward will be stunned.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Which is one of the more powerful crowd control abilities.
Yeah, that would definitely be helpful.
But it has some very weird intricacies, like the fact that if you use an ability called Flash, which every champion can get access to, it's basically like you blink forward a certain distance.
Okay, sure.
Or backwards, or wherever you want to. Just point and blink in that direction. If you blink, like, at the very last second before that shadow thing hits you, before your shadow crown bar hits you, you can move it. Like, you can make a curve, essentially.
Ooh,
and hit
nice.
And hit other targets. Like, there's a really specific thing you can do where you can hit, like, a triangle of champions, essentially. Like, you go in one direction, and then at the last second, you do the blink, and you hit all three of them.
Oh, wow.
Which is a very difficult trick to do, but if you can do it, it's very useful.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, I was really interested when I was, you know, reading up more on League of Legends and just how intense the competition is and how large it is and how mainstream it is. And it was like, I just had never realized.
It is an insanely competitive game. I always recommend, like, if anyone ever says, like, I want to try League of Legends, I always be like, okay, just so you know, it's insanely competitive. Yeah. So I would recommend, like, playing the for fun game modes if you just want to play the game for fun.
Yeah.
Which do exist. There are a few of those. Okay. But just avoid the ranked competitive playlists if you don't have any interest in being more competitive, because that environment can get very toxic very quickly. It's, like, an unfortunate side effect of that. Like, people all the time, like other gamers, talk all the time about League of Legends being a very toxic community. And there is some truth to that, unfortunately, because there's just it's such a hyper-competitive environment that it brings out the worst in some people, unfortunately. And there have been attempts made to, like, curtail that a bit by Riot, but not all of it has worked. And they're still trying other methods. It's just a hard situation.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
My suggestion is always, if you want to play the game, I'm all for it. I love playing the game myself. However, just play the for fun game modes.
Yeah.
Like, just avoid the ranked. Unless you just want to be more competitive. If you want to, good. If you don't touch it. It's not worth being that stressed all the time.
I am such. Oh gosh, PvP and me. I am anxiety monster when it comes to PvP, and I avoid it.
Yeah,
I this is one of those where I'm always like, it's probably not a game for me, and that's just gonna be okay.
that's totally fine. Like, because a lot of people have been, since Arcane came out, a lot of people have been just like, oh, should I play the game?
Oh, I bet.
And it's kind of become a meme that people are like, no, don't play the game, just enjoy the show. And I'm more in the middle of, like, I'm saying, if you want to play the game, play it, but know what you're getting into.
Well, it's nice that they have another mode so that people can, you know, have an entry level without, you know, getting splatted the first, you know, their first time out. Because, I mean, you're never going to get new players if they're always trying to beat their heads against
You can play, I think it's called, like, Blind Pick or Normal Draft, which are the less competitive ones.
Okay.
They're the more like, I'm going to try out some champions and play them and blah, blah, blah. Or you have the True for Fun mode, which is ARAM, All Random, All Mid, where the champion is random and all the players are on a single, like, lane, essentially, and have fun, basically.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It can get wild, and it's a very fun mode.
Oh, man, yeah.
And then sometimes I'll add in, like, rotating game modes every now and again. Uh-huh. Like, my personal favorite is, I kid you not, it's called ERF, which stands for Ultra Rapid Fire. It's also a joke based on a joke champion Riot made a long time ago called ERF, the manatee, which is a fan favorite little joke, is ERF the manatee.
ERF
I love
the
him.
Manatee. I love that. Yep. That's great.
it was fantastic. But in Ultra Rapid Fire, as the game mode kind of implies, all the cooldowns are as low as possible without truly being zero, mm-hmm. and none of the abilities cost any resources, so just have a blast.
Wow,
go
okay.
crazy.
Yeah.
That's one of my personal favorites, because it's just fun just throwing abilities around, like, they're freaking, like, just all over the place.
Yeah.
And just watching things explode, and it's very
like
fun.
Like button mashing.
Basically, it's true button mashing, just and it's a lot of fun.
I'm just imagining just like going on my keyboard.
Yeah, for some champions, you can definitely do that.
Yeah,
because some champions inherently have lower cooldown abilities.
Yeah,
and so you can just spam them constantly. Like there's one called Karthus, who has a basic ability that. Like, it's very, like, in the base game, it's very easy to spam because it's meant to be spammed.
Sure, yeah.
But in Ultra Rapid Fire, it goes from just, like, oh, you can, like, do it, like, every half a second, like, pretty normal,
yeah.
to suddenly it's just, like, five on top of each other, just
oh my God.
All over the place. Like, it's a big Gatling gun of these little explosions, and it's very funny.
That's awesome. So I have to ask, are you a good Pyke player?
I like to think of myself as a good Pyke player.
Nice.
I haven't played him recently because certain environments in the game, like the meta mm-hmm. of the game, has shifted in a way where Pyke is just not very good at the moment, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
And that has kind of been the case for like 2 years now.
Oh no, I was going to say, I hope they're going to leave it.
So like, I'll play him every now and again when I feel it's appropriate, but it's very hard to play him constantly unless you're just a god at him.
Yeah.
And while I am good at him, I am not a god at him. I recognize this.
That is fair.
And it gets very hard to make him work. And so sometimes you just have to bite the bullet and be like, I have to play something else. Pyke's not going to work
yeah.
here. Too many of the enemies are too tanky, or this matchup's just a bad one and it's not going to go well. And then you have to also keep in mind that your allies won't always conform to your will and make an environment that will play well for your champion.
Oh, that's
like, nah, I'm going to play what I want to play. And so it's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So do other characters have those kind of like specialized where you have to kind of build the team around them a little bit?
Sometimes. There are some champions like that. There's some champions that are more general and just can fit in any team composition. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some champions that are more specialized, and you only want to pick them against certain enemy team compositions,
sure.
which that's more like the high-end competitive stuff.
Okay.
Where you start
okay.
thinking about
yeah.
that. Or your team needs to be a certain way for a champion to work. Because as a support champion, you're usually like teamed up with a certain team member in what's called the bottom lane, which like on the map, it's like the bottom lane. That's why it's called that. There are like three main lanes uh-huh. and there's like forested areas where monsters exist
oh, okay.
that, where another position goes about called the jungler. But the support is always teamed up with what's called the, traditionally a lot of people call it the AD carry, although it's more changed to just the bottom carry now, because traditionally it used to be a more like physical damage focused position that you'd be teamed up with,
uh-huh.
but that's shifted to be more like, it can also be a magical damage carry, so now it's just generally like the bottom carry, essentially.
Okay.
Because the whole idea is the bottom carry is usually someone that will not survive on their own very well.
Mm.
But given enough time to like get enough gold, which you farm up from killing things called minions, which just come to the lane every now and then,
mm-hmm.
as well as like killing any champions. But usually you just want to kill the minions at first because they're not fighting you, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the support's job is to either help that other champion get kills on the enemy bottom lane, mm-hmm. or keep them safe, essentially, until they get to a certain point.
Okay.
And Pyke, being the assassin support, as you can probably think, his job is kill all the time. We want to be killing them whenever possible. He's very aggressive. And because of that, it can cause problems where you're with a certain bottom carry who's not in a very aggressive bottom carry, and so it can be a bad matchup where you're trying to go full-on in aggressive, but that one's like, nah, I just want to stick back and keep farming. And you're just like, no, fight with me! And so there's situations like that where you just have to be like, well, I can't use Pyke here, apparently, because that's just a bad champion to be teamed up with.
Yeah.
There are some ways to circumvent that, though. Uh-huh. Like, you can just leave the bottom lane and help other lanes, which you can do because Pyke is a very mobile support. He can move around very quickly. And that is a strategy you can do where you can roam to other lanes and help them out for a little bit, help them kill their enemy champion, and then go back to your lane before your bottom lane kills themselves, essentially.
Okay.
But that's the general idea is support is that whole position. They're basically the babysitter for most of the game. And it's very stressful at times.
Yeah, I can totally see where it would be. Oh my gosh.
I think I literally have a shirt that is a League of Legends shirt that says, I can't keep calm, I'm the support. which, I love that shirt. That's one of my favorite shirts.
It makes me think of back in my WoW days, one of my first characters was a healer. And just the intensity that always comes with that, where you're just trying so hard to balance everything to keep everybody alive, and
yes,
and you've always got somebody so who's just determined to make a big mess of things.
Yeah, there's basically two kinds of supports. There are supports that are panicked all the time because their carries are constantly hopping into danger, and please stop, I'm trying to keep you alive. Yeah. And then there are the supports that are just pull out the shotgun themselves and start blasting because they're so tired of their team is getting themselves killed. Fine, then I'll do it myself.
And I've been there.
Which some supports can do that, like Pyke. Pyke can do that when he gets to a certain point. And there's a few other ones too. But it's a fun little dynamic where that's one of my favorite things about the game, despite all its problems in terms of the community itself, is the gameplay is fun. Yeah. It is a fun game to play. It's just frustrating when you have bad teammates.
That's really kind of the story of all PvP, and I think that's why I avoid it, because I would be the bad teammate.
No, I totally get that.
I'd be the one everybody's totally yelling at. What are you doing? I'm like, I don't know.
But yeah, that's basically Pyke as in the game. Yeah. That's his whole thing, and that's his story, and that's why I kind of love him. I love this fact that this champion, who I originally gravitated to just for gameplay reasons, he's super fun to play. I love playing this assassin support. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I love pulling people out, catching them out, locking them down, and then helping my teammate kill them, and then we all get gold, and it's so fun. Especially because, his ultimate has a reset mechanic, where if you kill someone with his ultimate, its cooldown's fully refunded. You can keep using
nice.
It. Now, it does have a timer on it. Uh-huh. It doesn't stay off cooldown forever. But as long as you keep getting kills, you can keep it up. And so there are very fun moments where you just get... Basically, you kill the entire enemy team as the support, and it is very satisfying.
Oh, I bet. I bet.
I had a few moments where I nearly killed the entire enemy team, and I was like, yes!
Yeah, that's really cool.
Who's the carry now?
Who's the carry now? I was gonna ask you, which came first, the gameplay or the lore interest? So the gameplay
it was
came
the gameplay
first,
for
and
sure.
Then...
Yeah, and then it was the lore for him. Especially now that his lore has updated so much that it's really made me love him more as a character, as well as a champion in general. That's not the case for all champions of League of Legends. Mm-hmm. There are several that I love their lore, and I do not care for their gameplay very much. But there are some, they're a happy thing of, I love their gameplay, and I love their lore.
Yeah, that's a nice way to go. And it sounds like there's plenty of those, so you're not frozen out of them.
Oh, for sure. And there's some, there's like, the gameplay's nice, but god, their lore. Why is it not updated? Please. There are only a few of those left now, though. Most of the champions have been updated to the point where their lore is up to standard. And their gameplay is usually a lot better now in some way. Like, right now, they're going to be updating one of the most simple champions who's desperately needed to update for a while. Because literally his whole gameplay was, I run fast and I have four forms, but they basically all do the same thing, just slight differences.
I don't know, that sounds like
literally just one's just like, I have tiger claws and I attack a little faster. I have a turtle form where I get a tiny little shield and I can heal from my attacks. Or I go bear and I stun and I run fast. Or I go phoenix and I shoot fire when I attack things. But they're all basically just, I make a slight change in how I look, and I run at someone and hope they don't run away from me. Like, he's needed an update badly for a long time.
Sounds like it. Oh, man.
But fortunately, they're updating him, and his lore has already been updated in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So they're going to be giving him a slight lore update alongside his gameplay update, where it's furthering his story. Even before now, they were already updating his story, which is so good right now. I really like that character story right now.
Nice.
And so I'm excited to see where it goes. Literally, he had to fight off an Eldritch Horror, which is so good. Oh, it was so good. Especially because Eldritch Horror tried to, like, take over his mind. And he's like, nah, I'm not falling for that.
I was going to say, with the game still, you know, going on as strong as it is, and the new show, I would imagine that there'll be plenty more coming down the pike. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for that.
Oh, man. Oh, that's so bad.
I couldn't help myself. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, that's all good. But, I mean, that does seem to be the case. There seems to be they're putting a lot more emphasis on the story, which I love.
Yeah.
Please keep doing that.
Yeah.
And if Arcane is any evidence of where their story writing chops can go,
cool.
I just can't wait to see more of it, because that show is phenomenal. Like, seriously, if you have not seen Arcane, watch it now. Like, go, please. That show is so good.
Is that people who have never played League of Legends get into it? Like, is it really accessible? Okay, cool, cool.
Yeah, that was what shocked me the most, is you don't need to know anything about the game, and it pulls you in immediately. It helps you get the idea of this world so well. It helps a lot that they focus on a single location, and it's one of the smaller, quote-unquote, locations. It's a single city, kind of. It's a complicated situation. The show explains it very easily. But because it's all in one location, it makes it a lot easier to get the idea of what this world is like.
Okay.
While giving hints that there is a broader world outside of the city.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about that yet, because we're focused on this. But we may go out there someday, which is very nice. Helps give people time to adjust to what's going on.
Okay. Nice.
And you don't need to know anything about the champions in the show either, because it's a prequel. Like, it's telling all their backstories.
Oh, that's nice. Okay. That's cool.
There's only, like, one that they don't give backstory on, but that's because their backstory is not important. they exist, and we just need to know, like, their backstory is not important, because what's important is what they're doing now.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Because they're, like, they're basically an immortal-style character. They're very old.
Okay.
And so their story is more about, like, how their age has kind of confined their ideas, and how it has started to become a problem and stuff like that. So it's really, really cool. And it's fun because he's cute looking, but then we realize he's actually the super old dude, which is hilarious.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for kind of introducing me to, you know, League of Legends, which I feel like I've come away with understanding it a lot more, and you know, maybe not feeling quite so, this is not for me about it, you know? So that's really cool. I had no idea that there was so much story involved.
Oh, there is so much. Like, I've only scratched the surface of how much story there is.
Yeah.
Like, this is one champion in one region. There is so much. there are like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 regions, I think. And that's only like the major regions. There are a bunch of small stuff too.
Nice.
So there's so much to get into. Like, I really recommend, like, if you have any interest in like the lore of this world of Runeterra, just go to the wiki, click on any faction or any region, and just go. And you'll be lost in there for hours, days even. Like, there's just so much to consume, and I love it all.
Well, speaking of lore from League of Legends and where you can find it.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds like you're going to have plenty to keep going through for a very long time. So that speaks well to your show's longevity.
Yes, it does. Like, anyone who's interested, like we said at the beginning, my show is League of Lore.
Yeah.
And I do discuss the lore of League of Legends, as it says. And currently, I am focusing on the region of Demacia, which is the region that looks like it's a stereotypical good guys, except they're a bit prejudiced.
Oh, no.
Against magic.
Oh,
and that causes a lot of problems.
Yes. Yes, it would.
So their story's very complicated and gray, and I love it. Especially as a region that's traditionally viewed as not the most exciting. It looks like the more boring region because it's the good guys. But no, they're not all good people. And that's like my favorite part about it. Just because they're all in marble and white does not mean that they're good guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is why I love it. So right now I'm getting near the end of my coverage of Demacia.
Okay.
And the next one, I'm still debating on the next region, yeah, but it's likely going to be the region in Arcane. It's likely going to be
Piltover
and Zaun.
That's cool.
Which, that city is wild cyberpunk, no, not cyberpunk, a steampunk.
Ooh,
fun.
And nice.
It's great.
Nice, that sounds awesome.
But yeah.
Well, if people want to find you, where can they track you down?
Oh, plenty of places. They can find me on my Twitter at League of Lore 2. And you can also email me at loreofruinterra@gmail.com.
Nice.
And you can also find me on the Robots Radio Network Discord under the channel of League of Lore.
Very cool. Well, thank you again. I had a really great time at the end. Enjoy playing some more, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Awesome. Thanks again.
No problem. Do you like League of Legends? Do you like Legends of Runeterra? Do you like anything set in the Runeterran universe? Well, in League of Lore, that is what we shall be discussing. I am Skullhead Soldiers, and this is a podcast about the lore of League of Legends and other properties set in the Runeterran universe. We'll be diving into each region, as well as all the champions that exist in this wonderful, crazy fantasy universe. And I hope to see you all there.
Thanks for listening to the Pixel People Podcast. Check out the show notes for links to the game and characters discussed, and to connect with me and my guest. Want to be a guest on the show? Reach out to me on Twitter, Twitch, Discord, and just let me know who you'd like to discuss. A huge thank you to my patrons, including my Tier 2 and 3 patrons, Sixth Sense, Bobblehead, and Aperture Flash. And thank you to Elias Ali and Andy Brooks, who created the theme music. You can follow the show on Twitter at Pixel People Pod and keep up with me on Twitter, Twitch, and Discord. Enjoying the show? Be sure to subscribe. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, I'd love it if you could leave a review. It helps more people find the show. See you next time!